The future of farms is the future of food. No Farms, No Future is a new podcast from American Farmland Trust and Heritage Radio Network. Listen today.
Welcome to Pizza Quest. I'm Peter Reinhardt, a man on a never-ending search for the perfect pizza. This show is the audio version of the Pizza Talk YouTube series, where I engage in interesting conversations with some of the country's greatest pizza makers and other artisans. Thanks for joining me on this quest. Welcome to Pizza Talk. I'm Peter Reinhardt, and I am here today with my friend Siler Chatman, Charlotte's probably most famous pizza maker, world champion. What's the team? The world pizza champions team. For years, and the thing that always amazes me is when I see Siler, because we get together every now and then, is that when I first moved here 17 years ago, he was just a kid. You were like a teenager or just coming out of your teens, already had your own pizzeria, but you were already on the world pizza champions team, and ever since then, a whole lot of other stuff's happened. You're a family man now, you've had pizzerias, you've had operations, and now you've got a mobile pizzeria called King of Fire. And so, Si, I need you to kind of catch us up, because 17 years went by in a blur. Most of the time I see you, you know, I bring you in when I'm doing some kind of an event and we need somebody to put on a great show, and you do some of your acrobatic work. But really, what's happening with King of Fire that I've noticed is that it is, since it's opened in the last year or so, it has become, in my opinion, the best pizza in Charlotte. And I don't know how you're doing it, but somehow you're making it work through this crazy COVID period, and you're kicking it. So bring us up to date.
Peter, thank you. That's an honor for you to say that. But yes, yeah, so COVID definitely changed a lot. You know, we were trying to start up a more catering side of things, having the Fire Within trailer as a ambiance piece. And then all of a sudden COVID happens, and then all weddings were canceled, all private events were canceled. So what do you do? You know, it's like, oh, so we've got another Fire Within trailer, just went in more debt and said, because the one trailer can only do catering, our new trailer can do, it can do more vending, for the health department reasons that it has to be enclosed.
Like for
so we ended up... Say it again.
For like pop-ups and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So then that allowed us, now the neighborhoods are wanting us to come inside and actually serve the neighborhoods where people don't have to leave. All the restaurants are closed anyways. So, or the ones that were, fine dining and stuff. So while everybody was scrambling, trying to figure out their takeout part, we're already in the neighborhoods, already serving pizzas. We're already doing pre-orders. No cash transfers. Everybody was just being able to come up the truck, say their name. We put their pizzas on the counter, and they could grab and go. And that literally changed everything for us.
So are they paying via an app of some sort? They're using your app?
Yeah, just online ordering. Yeah, straight through Square offers, your online store. And they would place their order, put what time they wanted to pick it up, and we'd have it ready to go, nice and hot and fresh, ready to go.
So most people are buying whole pies. You're not selling it by the slice at this point?
Correct. Yeah, it was 100% just whole pies, anywhere from a 16-inch to a 10-inch is what we offered. So,
because you used to park one day a week. You used to park right outside my office at Johnson & Wales in that plaza between Bank of America and Johnson & Wales, and you had a whole line of people coming out there, but you were just selling it by the slice then. And so that whole business model has changed as well then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So not being able to do, when you're doing high volume like that, slices are definitely the way to go. But now, as a year later, now that we haven't been there, we're doing 10-inch, lunch pizzas, and that's even going even better. Mm. So instead of doing slices. So we've had to revamp our whole entire, operation around this piece. And it's been for the best. So
and you have two now. You have two mobile units, right? And
what is no, you can use, we, use we fire just had within? Our third one.
Now you have three. And these are all fire-rated designs?
No, yeah, so two of the enclosed fire-within trailers, and then one of the open, they call it the caterer fire-within, and they all three have the Forno Bravo ovens on them.
Wow, interesting. That's amazing because, again, we got to go back now 17 years. When I first met you, you had, I think it was called Size. Wasn't it called Size?
Yep.
Down in Indian Land or South Charlotte. Yeah, Indian Land, which is on the border of North and South Carolina. And so kind of give us a quick recap of that journey from then till now.
Yeah, so we ended up, I started my first restaurant. It was Size Pizzeria. We ended up grew those to three locations during the time I was, originally meeting you. And we ran with that till that was from 2001 to 2007. And then a gentleman by the name of Joe Drury came in. He owned all the rights for Bojangles. He literally owned the corporation.
Wow.
And he was just selling Bojangles to some guys here in Charlotte. And ended up, he bought the rights for North and South Carolina for Donato's Pizza. And he came to me and was like, Siler, this is what you always wanted. We can cookie cutter, it's a cookie cutter style pizza that we can just, just open them up left and right. And from 2007 to 2012, we ended up opening and operating 15 of them. And
wait a minute. You said 2007. That sounds like a scary era. 2007, 2008. Is that fit into the story here?
Yes, so we totally were opening stores when everything was going crazy and downfalling. We were, we were opening stores left and right. Not even, we couldn't even keep up with what the world was doing. We were just so busy with our head down, just opening restaurants. So,
and then the banks collapsed and everything went crazy out there. How did that affect business?
So 2010 and 11 was the roughest years of our life. I mean, we lost millions of dollars very quickly. We took all of the end of 2011 and all of 2012 to get back right and profitable and kind of get above where we could be able to sell off our portion of the company and
wow.
And get out at the right time. So
you were able to get in and get out intact. Yeah. And then I know you hooked up with Michael out in Ohio, your teammate, and started your own company, right? Like a consulting firm.
Yeah. So, I took a non-compete there for a while, so I couldn't really do anything. I was still a part of the team and doing Vegas and Pizza Expo and all that. While I was sitting on the sidelines, eventually me and Michael got together and started Perfecting Pizza. And I think that was in 2018. And we started, online consulting that was for $25 a month. You could jump on to Perfecting Pizza and have unlimited resources to the pizza industry. Any handbooks, checklists, how-to videos on every style of pizza. And then that just went gangbusters, landed us a really cool, opportunities doing some really big consulting jobs for some big firms out there. And,
wow.
When we were out west, we were at a winery and we saw the first Fire Within trailer out there. And I said, oh my goodness, I have to get one of these. This is the coolest thing. And Peter, in the last 5 years, pizza's really changed. It, everybody wanted to do the, how fast can we make it? How fast can we get it out? Da 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 da. To now everybody's being very, I'm looking for the right word, but more authentic.
Uh-huh.
More creative style pizzas. And me and Michael looked at each other and said, man, we got to step up our cooking game because if we're going to be relevant, we got to need to be able to do all styles and be able to be the best at doing that as well.
And Michael, who you're referring to, is Michael Shepherd, who was also a successful pizza operator in Ohio, right? And a world champion like yourself. And so the two of you became friends and kind of put your talents together. You actually wrote training manuals and operation manuals. Basically, if somebody signed on with you, you would give them a whole blueprint for how to run a successful operation.
Absolutely. And it took us 2 years to write the content. We thought we could get in, write the content in 6 months and be up and running. No, this thing took 2 years to define. Yeah. And it's sitting in front of a computer for 60 hours a week. It was tough, And But once we got it, we got it, and it's there, you know. And now we just update it and keep it, you know, relevant to today's market. And
so people are still coming to you, and you, is Perfecting Pizza still happening, or are you so busy with King of Fire that you can't do it?
Well, no, no. So yes, we do King of Fire and Perfecting Pizza full time on both sides.
Now, oh, to be Tony, young.
Yeah. So Tony Gimiani, Scott Anthony, and Nick Bogaz has now become owners of Perfecting Pizza with me and Michael.
Wow.
And we have so much stuff coming in the pipeline that it's gonna be the next thing. So.
Well, yeah, I love hearing that. I love hearing the fact that. That you've synergized, so to speak, you know, the talents of essentially your world champion pizza team, and are bringing them now into the consulting realm. So all those talents now become available to people who want to tap into it.
Yeah, and you're talking to some of the top guys in the industry right now that have changed the world in pizza. Now are going to be writing content and helping us grow the word out there, because at the end of the day, Peter, we're all in it together, and we want everybody to be successful. Like, I mean, I love, you used to give back. You taught me different dough recipes. You taught me so many things when I was little, and I've never been able to have that opportunity. And now with Perfecting Pizza, I can give back to all my mistakes I did and streamline it for so many new people coming up in the industry. It's
That's
huge.
Amazing. It's great. It's great. And of course we learn so much more from our mistakes than from our victories.
Yeah.
So that, and now hopefully you can fast track other people so they don't have to make those same mistakes, but they still will. Everyone's going to make their mistakes, but at least you can navigate them through it, which is great. So King of Fire came along a couple of years ago. You launched, I saw the first time I saw, you know, the trailer pull up in front of Johnson & Wales, and you were making pizzas. You actually made pizzas for an event that I was involved in. And we're cranking them out. And so aside from the fact that now you're not selling it by the slice, but by the whole pie, what else are you applying from what you were saying about how the pizza world has changed, whether it's the artisan aspect or the, you know, creative side? How's that impacting your menu?
It's totally different now. So, you know, being on the East Coast versus the West Coast. West Coast, they're very authentic and love the weird stuff. Where I feel like here in North Carolina, nobody really gets that yet, you know?
Well, so everyone else thinks we're the weird ones.
Yeah. And people still like meat on pizza over here, you know? So they're like, what is that? You know?
Yeah, right.
So one of the things I wanted to do is, you know, I knew coming into this and knowing what people like and what they don't like is, one of the biggest things is, only 5% here in Charlotte really like true Neapolitan style pizza. So with that being said, I was like, you know what? We got to come up with a hybrid crust. And you and I have a series on Perfecting Pizza about the different styles of all the different crusts.
That's right. I made a video with you, didn't I?
And so at the end of the day, it's like, you know, what could we do? So we call it American wood fired. Because I am using a higher protein flour, but I am also using a Polish starter to give it that fluffy taste, but still getting that crunch that everybody really wants.
So you're not baking like a 60-second pizza. You're baking them longer, getting them crispier.
Yep. I'm using about a 3 to 4 minute bake versus that 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it's giving everybody still that that love of the New York style, because everybody's still stuck on New York here, versus true Neapolitan. They don't kind of understand that yet. To let's come up with a hybrid, you know, in between, where they're getting the best of both worlds, and it has been a home run hit.
That's really fantastic. Yeah, well, I think, you know, from everything I've seen, that style, which is like that hybrid of all pizzas, you could say all round pizzas are Neapolitan in a sense. And then, and for a long time, every pizzeria in America, whether it was Pizza Hut or whatever, they all referred to their pizzas as Neapolitan style, even though to Naples, Neapolitan meant wood fire, baked in 60 to 90 seconds, you know, no adulteration, only San Marzano tomatoes, all those rules that they had.
Right.
And then we've been playing for the last 10 years, we've watched this back and forth between the authorized version of Neapolitan and the Americanized Neapolitan, which some people then started calling Neo-Neapolitan. And then there's the New York style, which is just Neo-Neapolitan in another form. And then there's Pizza Across America, which we call Pizza Americano, which is again a variation of Neapolitan. So it seems like a lot of people are finding their own sweet spot for what their market is loving and how to deliver that to them.
And I think that's huge, is understanding your market before you do anything. And we took weeks and months going to different neighborhoods when I started, to my friends' houses and having them invite friends over. We'd have seven different styles of crust, and I wanted to see what people liked. Forget the sauce, the cheese. We can come up with that later. Let's go to the base and start our foundation from the bottom and work our way up.
And that's true Neapolitan spirit, because for them it's all about starting with the crust as well, and then and then building up from there. So I know that we're going to have another segment with you, and you're going to take us maybe out to see the truck and show us one of your pizzas. But before we do, can you talk a little bit about based on everything that's built up to this moment in time, what are some of the choices that you've made? You said you're using American flour as opposed to, say, Italian 00 flour. Is that one of the – what other things are you doing?
You know, we're using Instana San Marzano tomatoes. We're using a good Stanislaus. We're using three of their different types of tomatoes and blending them together.
Uh-huh.
Doing more of a hybrid sauce that, you know, you have a lot of people that like a sweet sauce and a lot of people like a spicier sauce. We came in with a happy medium in between. Mm-hmm. So everybody would still like the sauce and not hate it one way or the other. We're using the freshest grande, you know, fresh mozzarella to grande's, whole milk mozzarella. So we have different pizzas on the menu that are using fresh mozz. On some pizzas, and then some are using straight, like a good base of whole milk mozzarella.
You know, it's funny. I want to ask you something, because I just read this in the Dough Doctor, just wrote about cheeses in the latest issue of Pizza Today or PMQ. And he talked about the difference between a whole milk mozzarella and a low fat mozzarella and the different functions of those. And he's actually, you know, advocating a blend of like 50-50, because he says the low fat browns better and the high fat doesn't brown as well, even though it tastes richer. Played with that idea?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, here it goes again. Everybody in Charlotte is using a 50-50 blend. So let's be different. Everybody already understands what that taste is.
Oh, is that right? Okay, yeah.
And you're seeing that more out there. And so let's go back to the whole milk. Versus the, you know, the low. What I'm liking with the whole is in the wood fire.
Yeah.
It does. It. I can go half the amount of cheese that I need, and it doesn't cook the butter fat. You know, it doesn't cook down as fast because of the butter fat in the milk or in the cheese. So it's not cooking down as fast. So it's giving it a nice, just a beautiful, just a perfect melted cheese. Because it's only taking 3-4 minutes, I can cut down on the cost of putting so much cheese on as if you were to have a 12-minute bake. So it's changed a lot.
So you're finding that, again, a balance point. And what kind of flour are you using?
I'm going back to the basics of all Trumps, you know, because everybody uses it and everybody's had a great result with it. We've tried multiple different ones, and I just keep coming back to the all Trumps.
Isn't it funny? Some things just come full circle. But, you know, we have to try everything and everybody. And the cool thing is that different people have found different ways of going with this. And some go with the lower protein or the straight bread flour. Some with the even lower, you know, sort of 00. And then now there's the 00 high protein blends. And
That's right.
So there's something for everybody.
And we're using a Polish starter. And we're letting that be anywhere from 12 to 18 hours and then turning around and giving it a 2 to 3 day, you know, fermentation after that.
So really you're not using a lot of yeast, a little bit of yeast and long fermentation.
That's right. And you can taste the difference. It's amazing. You and I had a huge talk about this on that segment. Yeah. And, you know, between that 18 and 36, and then everybody's trying to stretch it out to 96 now. And can you go 100 hours? And, you know, I'm telling you, that sweet spot for us is that 48 to right at 70. Not even 72 is almost dying on us, you know.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I think, well, you can get away with a longer fermentation with the high protein flour, the all Trumps, than you can with, say, a lower protein flour. So So it's all about the balancing act of time, temperature, and ingredients. And you seem to have found it. And especially right now, and then who knows, that could continue to evolve over time.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to the original question is like, what else are we, you know, the processes that we've learned through the years has really streamlined us at King of Fire, like being able to streamline, knowing how to do high volume when you go into a neighborhood. How can you pump out, you know, 120 pizzas in an hour and a half,
right?
You know, out of a wood-fired oven without killing the wood-fired. And, oh, by the way, with only running with 3 to 4 people in a truck versus you need 7 people to do 120 pizzas at a typical place, you know?
Yeah.
And that fast of a time. So being able to have those procedures that we've done throughout the years has really streamlined that whole process for us.
Well, I see that you're sitting in like in a kitchen. In there, this is this where it all happens for you? You've got like a central kitchen that
I mean, you see all the refrigeration.
That's a lot of refrigeration, man.
Yeah, but you know, with not having a walk-in and doing dough, you've got to have room for dough trays and everything. So, and running, you know, 3-4 day processes and dough, you got to have some room.
So this is like a commissary for you. Where is the commissary in relationship to like where all your business is?
Well, where we're at now is actually at a church out in Rock Hill, South Carolina, but we're actually moving our whole operation over off of Carowinds, which is more South Charlotte.
Right on the border.
Right on the border, because everything for here, everywhere we go is 30 minutes from here. Now we'll be able to cut our times to 15 minutes by moving closer in. So we're in the transition. By January 1, we'll be in our full new commissary. And
you're going to have a walk in there?
We're going to have a walk-in.
All right.
Yeah. Man, it's a must. Well,
the whole thing is like an evolving process. And you've only really been in the King of Fire game for what, maybe 2 years now, 2.5 years?
Yeah, we started in November of 2018, but really didn't get serious until March of 2019.
So less than 2 years, really. And it's already come this far. It seems like it's just been an amazing learning and growing experience for you and for your team, who we'll meet in the next segment. In fact, why don't we take a little break here, give you a chance to go out and fire up the oven, and we'll meet you at have you given your different trucks names, or how do you differentiate them from each other?
No, yes, and none of us can remember the names, so it's been really fun, but yeah, we got to figure this out. We did name our trucks. Kay and I know it's my kids' middle names. But the problem is I can't remember which one's Kay and which one's what's the other one? Diane and Jane. So yeah, we're trying to figure out. You know,
have you been out to Noble Smoke, to the barbecue place here in Charlotte?
No, but I've got a buddy of mine that's our newest manager, Chris. He's got to take me there. I told him he's got to take me out.
You've got to go and get Jim Noble, the owner and proprietor, to take you back to show you his smokers, because he's given each one of his smokers a name. And each one is a family member name. He's got it pretty memorized.
Well, Jim Noble was a big part of our success at when he had Roosters. My partner Joe took me there to break the news that he just bought all the rights and he was coming in as my competitor if I didn't sell my restaurants to him at the time. So I've known Jim Noble for a little bit, you know. So
yeah,
I love his restaurant.
He's one of Charlotte's great restaurateurs, and so. We'll have to go get barbecue there sometime.
Let's definitely make that happen.
Well, let's take a little break here. Why don't you all join us on the next segment? We're going to join Siler outside at in front of one of the ovens, Kay or Jay or Diane or whichever.
I don't know which one. It's going to be Jane. This one's going to be Jane that we're going to see.
Okay, let's go meet Jane. And we'll see all of you back in part 2 of Pizza Talk today with Siler Chapman. See you then.
The future of farming in America is uncertain. Our farmers are aging and selling off their land. But the pandemic has revealed the importance of local farms as the national and international supply chain continues to be disrupted.
I mean, it's not like most farmers have a company-sponsored retirement plan.
I'm Hannah Forden, HRN's program manager, and I want to tell you about a new show. hosted by John Piotti, the president and CEO of American Farmland Trust, and produced in collaboration with Heritage Radio Network, this is No Farms, No Future. There is a new generation of small farmers. We're here to tell their stories, share knowledge, and dig deep into the future of American farming. From land stewardship,
we are losing 2,000 acres of farmland a day.
The price of land is often so high that it's really hard to get started.
To cracks in the supply chain.
By the time I go shopping every single day, there's no meat left to feed my family.
The future of farms is the future of food. Subscribe to No Farms, No Future, a new podcast from American Farmland Trust and Heritage Radio Network. Find us wherever you like to listen.
Welcome back to Pizza Talk. And I'm outside now with Siler Chapman, who has already been giving us a little bit of the background of how he went from being the wonder kid in the pizza world with his own pizzeria to a whole chain of pizzerias to now out on the road with three trailer rigs, fire within systems that each one's a little different, each one with a different name. Which one's that? What's that rig behind you called?
So this is called K.
That's K.
So we named them all again after my kids' middle names.
Yeah.
And the only way I can remember K, this trailer being K, is for Chris, even though he spells it with a C, and this one's with a K, but it kind of reminds me of the two. So
is that the one? Then, does Chris run that one, or
Chris runs this one full time, and he absolutely loves it. It's a good trailer, a lot of room inside and stuff. So what we'll do is we'll kind of pop in here and kind of let you guys see.
Okay.
Now everybody laughs. They're like, "What's the propane for? Does that run the oven?" Absolutely not. It actually runs the generator that's over here. So it's 100% propane. And so that allows you to get full, it's a quiet generator, and you never have to fill up. It runs for weeks at a time on the propane.
So you don't have to have electricity then. You could be anywhere to do this.
We can be absolutely anywhere. And so you can see like our little dough section here where we make the doughs, and then we work down the line here, and then we can stage them here, and then we have the little fire running right there as well. Everything cut down the cut table. Then we've got our sinks, and then our three compartment sinks, which we like to fill up with everything.
It looks like you had a job. You came from a big job yesterday, and now you're kind of winding that down and winding up for another big job tonight.
Yeah. So and the cool thing with these is you can literally just straight pressure wash everything out, and it goes into the hole there. And so we're about to sit here and pressure wash all these trucks and trailers right now. So
you mentioned that those are Forno Bravo ovens. Do you happen to know which model oven for people who want to know what model you use?
I don't know the names of these because they're made specifically for these trucks for the trailers. But the one in here, you'll know very well. It's the, let me change here. So this one's a little different setup. We're installing the quiet generator on this one next week, actually. But with the enclosed window here going down the road, you can see the big, and this one's the 140, I think it is, or the 120. No, it's the 140. But it's, is it the Napolitano one that they call it?
Could be.
So this is Forno Bravo's like big commercial one. It's a little bit heavier insulated, but this one also can gas assist. So you can see the gas assist, but you can see down below we cut it off.
So you don't even use it.
Yeah, so that we could actually just use strictly 100% wood. So, but this one runs very well, and you can see she's not 100% up to temp because you can tell in the back with the blackness on the dome there. But this trailer is set up very well. You got your prep table. We streamline things where we have the racks here. So as you're making, a couple hundred pies, you can actually put the board on there and rack them up, getting them, staging to go in the ovens. And underneath
you gotta keep cranking. If you're at a big job, you've just got to keep them coming.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nothing for us to pump out 120 pizzas in a 2 hour window, not with no problems.
That's like a 100-yard dash. It's intense.
That's right. And I think you know this guy.
Guy? Looks familiar.
Hey, what's up?
This is the K, the Chris who's also the K. He drives the K.
That's right.
So why don't you introduce Chris to everybody?
Okay, so Chris is my right-arm man. He is my one of the things that I've learned through the years is give some ownership. So Chris is actually going to work his way up to multiple levels of ownership with King of Fire for his truck and trailer. So
nice.
We're super excited to have him on.
Now, what's your last name, Chris?
Reinhardt.
Okay, so that's where the familiarity comes. Chris is my nephew, just so for full disclosure for everybody who's watching. And Chris and I have been through, three different pizzerias together over the years. Johnson & Wales graduate who started working at Pie Town first, right?
Had
your teeth at Pie Town.
That was 2008, yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of a cool little gourmet pizza restaurant. And then Chris and the team from Pie Town moved over to a place called Pure Pizza, which for a number of years until a year and a half ago was, I think, making the best pizza in Charlotte. Until this other guy who opened King of Fire happened, and suddenly all of a sudden a whole new level of pizza started coming in. And now you were working at Inizio also doing Neapolitan pizza.
Yeah, so
you've been at four pizzerias. This is your fourth sort of experience. As you develop a sort of a realm of a repertoire and a resume in the pizza world that will allow you to do whatever you want in the future, including be a partner in King of Fire.
Yeah. So it's been a blessing to have him on the team. And, we're learning from each other, and that's the cool part. Like, there's things he's teaching me, and I'm still learning, and there's things he's like, oh, I didn't even think we could do that,
And it's been
fun, so... For sure, but why don't we?
And he gives our family some bragging rights too.
For sure. And every pizza that comes out of the oven, I always say, "Would Peter approve of that?" And if not, throw that thing on the fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and does he know who you're talking about when you call me Peter? Because he calls me Uncle Doug.
that's what I ask him. I'm like, who's Peter?
And so since then, I've been able to call him Meatball now. So it's been a good relationship. So.
A little childhood nickname. Yeah, when you were a kid, your friends used to call you that. So, well, why don't you show us, what you can do with that oven?
Okay, perfect.
This is, of course, the viewers on Pizza Talk, that's their favorite part, is when they actually get to see something being made. And I think because a lot of our viewers are in the pizza business, they know how to make pizzas, but they also want to see what everybody else is doing. And then we have a lot of folks who are thinking about it. I mean, they're enthusiasts, home cooks. They're always looking for techniques and tips. And then some of those end up doing like Pauly G and going from being a home pizza guy to becoming a world famous pizza operator. You just
never know. It's amazing how he's come along with that. You know, Pauly G's done a phenomenal job. So
Chris, your shaping technique has evolved over the years. It looks like
you put that one out pretty fast.
Yeah,
had some practice.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's been amazed on how many pies a little truck can actually put out in a day's worth of time, you know?
Well, let me ask just from a technique side. So you have this is going to be about a 12-inch pizza, would you say?
No, actually it's going to be a 10-inch personal pizza that we offer.
And how much does that dough ball weigh?
It's 8 ounces on the money.
Okay, 8 ounces of dough.
We're going to use 2.65 ounces of cheese. I'm giving all the recipes up here.
Wow.
We're using Ezo pepperoni, which is very hard to find in Charlotte, but we have been able to get it.
They've certainly made a big impression in the pizza community, Ezo.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting how pepperoni has gone from being sort of like ridiculed to becoming now even the international community wants American pepperoni.
Yes, and they all want the old school. You know, now he's throwing in a little secret in right there. That's our crushed red pepper. So we're gonna make the honey pie for you today.
Oh, okay.
And this is one of our top sellers right now.
So the honey obviously will go on after it comes out of the oven.
That's correct. Yeah, and you know. You could do it before, but what we've found out is it actually makes it very, very greasy. So.
Yeah. And it could run off. But are you using regular local honey or hot honey or what?
Yeah, we're using just one of our local farmers here, right there in Tega Cay.
Uh huh. Which is again
Tika Hills.
Yeah,
Tika Hills Farm, right there in Tega Cay.
Tega Hills Farm is an organic grower, right?
That's correct.
Grower. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we get their stuff at the farmer's market, and so this piece is about what do you set this oven to?
We like to run starting out about that 8 to 850 mark,
really?
But then we'll let it calm down a little bit to about the 750 mark when we get actually pumping them out and.
Yeah, because you're baking them. You're not going for a 60-second bake. You're going for like a 4-minute bake, which I like. I think we did that. Chris and I did that over at Pie Town and at Pure Pizza. We loved that 4-minute bake because we got that great sort of puff plus the snap.
That's right, and I think that's huge. And you can see Chris's face right now, how he actually has a smile on his face. I've been teaching him when he cooks, he needs to smile because here in Southern hospitality world, we got to have a smile on our face. And it tastes so much better. I don't know what it is about that, but it really works. So that's another secret here, trade secret.
That's good.
Cooking this off? Why don't we run out here to see the other trailer real fast?
Okay,
Is the concession, they call it the concessionaire, concessionaire trailer. So you can see it holds the prep table in the truck. And then this one just came back from a wedding last night. So,
is that the one that you used to bring and park out in front of Johnson Wheels?
Absolutely.
And so, like if you had inclement weather, you would build a tent around that to protect it, right?
Correct. Yep. And then what we do is we keep it, today again is all wash and detail day. So I keep it in my garage at home just so that, as it's getting cold and stuff like that. Let's take a look because it does. We're not doing a 60 second cook. We're doing a little slow cook. And you kind of see it coming out.
So the one that you just showed us, was that the first one? Was that the one you launched the company with?
Yes.
The concessionaire?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so
we've had,
and I think it's, this is good because
November of 2018.
Because there are a lot of people who watch these episodes who might be thinking about getting into the game. The whole world has changed, as you said. Brick-and-mortar pizzerias are kind of giving way to more of these mobile pizzerias. A few years ago, it was considered crazy to go into this business and rare and extreme. And speaking of extreme, while we're waiting for that pizza, can you kind of tell everybody a little bit about your background? You didn't start out as a pizza guy. You went into pizza because you got injured, right? You were an athlete who got hurt, and this was like your fallback plan.
Yeah, so I was a motocross racer all my life, and I was 7 years old, and then all the way up to 16, I ended up breaking my back in a really bad crash down in Florida. And what do you do when your whole life? I was homeschooled. My whole entire career was all around. Motocross. My best friend's mother owned a pizzeria down in Waxhaw, North Carolina, and him and I would work there, occasionally. And the love of pizza, I think, that's where it started. And I went to, UNC Charlotte for mechanical engineering, woke up one morning after 9/11, and literally it was my very first semester, and 9/11 happened. All these kids came back from schools, lost their jobs. And I didn't understand that, Peter, because some guy ran a plane in a building. You lost your job. I just couldn't grasp that in my head. And we ended up literally, I kept praying hard about what I need to do in life. Cause I just knew right then that was not what I wanted to do. And that little thing said, you got to open a pizza place. And literally probably 4 or 5 months after that, I raised up about $250,000 and we opened it, and I was 18 years old. So,
wow. Well,
yeah, it was crazy.
and then you were off and running. And then how long after that before you met Tony, Jim, and Johnny and joined his team?
Probably a year later. I met Tony, and this is the funny part. Tony hated me. I got booed off the stage in New York. I completely sucked at what I did, and he told me never to come back. I heard about a competition in LA that they were doing, and I ended up, went out there, and he saw me, and I said, Tony, tell everybody I suck. Don't let the TV, you know, stations know. Just tell them not even film me. I ended up going up there and winning. It really pissed them off because I had to redo my thing so that all the TV shows could, you know, my routine for the TV show could actually catch the footage. So it made him look bad again, and he hated me. So we
that's a great that start.
Yeah, that, I think that was 2004. By 2005, we had already gone to Italy as the U.S. pizza team. He was the coach of that at that time. We came back. We all just sat down, me, him, Michael Shepard, Joe Carlucci, sat down in a hotel in West Virginia and said, we gotta form our own team. We're going to call it the World Pizza Champions. And that's how it all began in 2005.
Wow. Yeah. So, that's amazing. And now, and all of you guys were really getting known for the acrobatic side of things. And correct. Everybody was making regular pizza. Now all of you are known not only for that, and maybe are doing less of that and, you know, coaching others in that, but now you're really known for your pizzas. And it seems like the shift and really went to the quality of pizza at that point.
Well, yeah, in 2007, I think it was, Tony came to me and was like, Salar, we all got to start shifting to being chefs. We've had fun and we've got a lot of press over the acrobatics, but that's only going to be short-lived. Let's all become phenomenal chefs and get our respect there. And I didn't understand that because I was still a kid and I really wanted to focus on the acrobatic side of things. But Tony was right. You see where Tony's at today, you know, 13-time world champion, and he's, you know, he's done phenomenal things with all styles of pizza. You know, he literally took and ran with going and learning Detroit style, Midwestern, all the way to Neapolitan to Roman style. He's done every style out there, and he incorporated in his restaurant. And he was one of the only ones that ever did that. And you see where he's at today. He's on the top. So,
well, do you see yourself? You've got this particular style now that you've dialed in really perfectly. Do you see yourself adding in some of these other styles into your
absolutely, menu? Absolutely. We've got a lot to handle right now in the procedures and the volume we're doing out of these trailers.
Yeah,
that it's tough. It's super tough because you can do it where we're at right now. If you do a par baked Detroit and then finish it in the oven, we could totally do that. We can do the Sicilians and the grandmas in here. But operationally, in the volume we're doing,
yeah,
it's like you'd have to bring a second trailer in just to do those styles. So we're trying to figure out that sweet spot and see where it all comes together. So
It'd take a while. It doesn't all have to be figured out overnight, that's for sure. And with the way the world is changing so rapidly, you know, it's probably safer to just stay with one thing and do it well and then see, you know, before you make another investment.
And these pop-up shipping container places are starting to come big.
That's right.
And I see us doing that. I really see us doing one of those where we can introduce all the different styles, where we can have an electric oven in there and have a wood-fired oven in at the same time. I think that's going to be 2021, 2022, you'll see something of that nature. So
that'll be the next brick and mortar will be a cart and mortar kind of thing. So let's see that pizza.
Flip over here and let Chris show us what he's got here. So you can kind of see it's got that nice good cook all the way around. Hold it up and let's see the bottom a little bit. So you can see the nice
jar.
Yeah, perfect.
Got all that leoparding. And you got those beautiful cups, those little pepperoni cups.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all about the little old – I call them old school. I know there's a better name for it, but I just love this style. And then we'll –
And now the honey?
Now the honey. So we do a nice little drizzle on top.
You know, honey has become so popular now.
Honey
or local honey, you name it. What do you think honey does to pizza that makes it just pop?
You can't even taste it. It's just that sweetness. It brings that nice sweetness in for everybody. And I think that just it just makes a big difference there.
Well, that's a beautiful pizza. What would a pizza like that, if I see your truck out there and I want to buy one of those pizzas, what does it cost?
Just $10. Simple
really?
As that.
$10 for that.
Yeah, and here's Chris. He laughs at me because he's like, you're too cheap. And I'm like, let's just keep doing it in volume, you know?
Well, so. Well, you're building a following right now, and King of Fire went from being totally unknown a year and a half ago to now being sort of not just the new kid on the block, but all of a sudden there's buzz about you guys, and you've got your social net. So what is it called? Social marketing thing going.
Yeah.
With sending out announcements. I get every Tuesday. I get an announcement on where you're going to be.
Yeah, and yeah, so, and yeah. You know, Peter, it's so funny. Like it's I didn't want it to be this way, and I had to check my own self on this. But we have created a cult-like following. In a respectful way, but these and Chris can maybe talk about this because he didn't really understand this until he got on the truck. These people will come out of the woodworks. They'll blow my phone up at 11:30 at night trying to find out where we're located. And I'm like, guys, I'm at home asleep, you know? Like, yeah. What do you mean? You know?
Right. Like we're all over the Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Indian Land area. We go to different neighborhoods every night, and we'll see the same guy 3 times a week. And he'll be in Rock Hill. We'll be in Rock Hill, and it will be 25 minutes up in Fort Mill. And
they're following
you. They follow us all over. Yeah,
that's
how the social media really helps with that by letting you know where the truck, letting everybody know where the truck's going to be. We have the addresses on there, and so it's super easy and convenient for people to find us. And then you know we just put out a really great product, so you know they're
gonna that's the best marketing there is word of mouth like that. And Pat, when people are passionate about your product, you know you're onto something. And so congratulations for all that. By the way, for those who are watching from different parts of the country, the area they're talking about, Rock Hill, Fort Mill, that's right on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. So you guys are kind of in both Carolinas at the same time. And Charlotte, where I'm based, is right also on the southern border of North Carolina, just a few, you know, half an hour from Rock Hill, where you do a lot of your business. But are you doing some stuff over on our side then?
We were in Sedgefield the other night. We had a big event over there. And we're getting, and we do a lot in Mooresville, Huntersville.
So that's on the northern side.
We do a lot of one-offs, which is another 30. So we're an hour away from there. But that's the beauty of these trucks is we can pick up and go wherever you want us to go. Yeah. The thing is we don't have enough trucks yet to cover all of Charlotte market. That's the beauty of it. Like we can get another 5. Or we could have 5 to 6 total trucks and still be busy every single day of the week.
But then you're going to need to find like 5 Chris's out there to run those trucks.
Well, did you hear they just got that new machine there in Charlotte right by you where we can clone them? They're starting to clone them. So we're going to try that out. We're going to get a meatball number 2. Yeah.
You'll have K1, K2, K3. Yeah. Well, this is great. Thanks so much for sharing all of this with us. Congratulations on everything you're doing. If people want to try, you know, like find out more about Perfecting Pizza, what's the best way for them to reach you?
PerfectingPizza.com. It's Siler@PerfectingPizza.com is my email. Feel free to reach out. Any questions, we'd love to help. And then King of Fire Pizza is on Facebook and Instagram. So follow us there too. Yeah.
And for those who are interested in hearing more about the Perfecting Pizza work, Siler and Michael Shepherd were interviewed on Pizza Quest, our website, a couple of years ago. Before you jumped into the King of Fire thing, you were all in on that. And so we had a great interview, written interview, which you can just go to pizzaquest.com and the search engine, just put Siler Chapman, and it'll lead you to both this interview, but also to the written interview with Michael, where they talk a little bit about the vision of helping other pizzerias perfect their business, not just perfect their pizza, but perfect the business itself.
Well, and think about this, Peter. Think of this. If the average pizza place does 6% net profit, we need you to be at 20%. That's our goal at Perfecting Pizza. How do you get to 20% profit? And if you're not doing that right now, you need to be on perfectingpizza.com. So
that's a perfect target, clear and measurable goals and how to get there.
That's
Siler Chapman, King of Fire, Chris Reinhardt, thank you both for sharing. I wish I was there having a slice of that pizza with you right now. It looks really, really good.
We're on the way. We're on the rig.
Well, continued success, continued growth. It looks like it's happening slow and steady, but it's happening. Yes. And just stay in control of that. And for those who want to sort of follow their path, you know how to track them, but also they're blazing a path that other people, I think, are going to try to do throughout the country, whether it's through Fire Within or, you know, everyone has their own path to get there. But there are certainly templates now and case studies of people that are proving that this can really be a successful operation. Are you at that 20% point now?
Unfortunately, we're running around that 54% right now. So
54%.
Yeah, food trailers are next level. Sorry. So
even better than a restaurant. Yeah,
there's no overhead. We love it.
There you go. All right, you got to rewrite that book, the Perfecting Pizza book. Well, new targets.
Have a mobile.
Forget 20%. We're going for 50% now.
That's right. That's right. And that's it's almost impossible to do in a brick and mortar, but in the mobile world, it's there. So. There's no overhead, and it's a beautiful thing.
It used to be a hard sell. I remember when Fire Within just was first starting, and we did some filming with them, how hard it was to convince people to give it a try. Now people are lining up because they're realizing just when you hear 54%, all of a sudden the line gets a little longer. So
that's right. That's right. And when I started, before we started like really pumping it up, like it was just me, my wife, and a couple employees, it was 62%. So but now we're adding a lot of labor. We're trying to be more efficient and stuff in that aspect. So
will Perfecting Pizza be writing manuals for the operators of mobile units?
Yeah, we're already doing it. So
right, absolutely. Fantastic. All right, folks, you know where to find them. Thank you for joining us on Pizza Talk, and keep coming back. We'll be posting new interviews with people all the time. People are doing exciting things like Siler Chapman here, right here in Charlotte. Thank you, guys. All right. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Pizza Quest is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Thanks for listening.